draweth nigh. Mark chapter 5 this morning in your Bible. Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter 5. Start reading in verse number 21 this morning of Mark chapter number 5. Verse number 21. Very familiar story to many of us. The Bible says here, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Hold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you this morning, Lord, for these thy people that's come, Lord, once again to hear from you. I love the song as we sing. I love to tell the story to those who know it best, seem hungry and thirsty to hear it like the rest. We're thankful for the hungry hearts here this morning. We'd ask you this morning to help us. I pray you cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach only what thus saith the Lord. We'll be sure to give you the praise and the honor and the glory that's due your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. If I were to ask this morning, who truly believes that the Lord Jesus Christ meets with us here? If I were to ask this morning, who believes that his presence is evident here, I would think that some would amen it, others would raise their hand, and nearly all would agree that it's evident that he does. We thank the Lord for that. If I were to ask this morning by way of show of hands, who believes this morning that Jesus can heal cancer? If I were to ask who believes that he can heal sickness? If I were to ask this morning who believes that Jesus can deliver those from their disease? Once again, most or all would raise their hand. Yet the tragedy is many, week in and week out, will walk out of the door never trying to get his attention. If I were to say, do you believe Jesus could help you heal that loved one that's sick, the one that you love that has a physical problem or a medical problem, we would say that we believe he can, yet many times we walk out the door and never bring it to the Lord Jesus. If I were to ask this morning who believes that God can solve your financial difficulty, once again, all would raise their hands, yet many will leave this morning wringing their hands, wondering how they're going to fix their financial problem. If I were to ask this morning who believes God can heal a strained marriage, we would agree that he can, yet they'll walk out the doors in churches all over the place with a strained marriage this morning. In our text this morning, Jesus has been asked to leave the country of the Gadarenes. You remember the story. He's healed the maniac of Gadara there, and all the swine went down the hill as he sent the evil spirit into the swine, and they went into the water, and they were drowned there. And so that was a lot of money that had cost those people, the Gadarenes, all that swine. And so they asked him to depart out of their coast. And Jesus leaves the country of the Gadarenes, and the Bible says he passes over by ship. When he gets off of the ship, people begin to gather. here comes this man by the name of Jairus running, and he's begging Jesus to heal his daughter who's sick. He says she lieth at the point of death. And Jesus begins to follow Jairus, and so does the crowd. But as Jesus is following Jairus, and the crowd's following both of them, all of a sudden, out of the crowd emerges this woman who has an issue of blood. In fact, the Bible says that she's had this issue of blood for 12 years. And buddy, what we find in this passage is there's a woman here who has a problem. There's a woman here who has a situation that she wants to bring to Jesus. She manages to make her way close enough to touch the hem of his garment. As I begin to read this passage of Scripture, I see a woman with a seemingly impossible situation. I mean, she'd had this problem for 12 years. Somebody said our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable. Do what seems unreasonable or expect what seems impossible. I want to say that again. Our faith has never really been tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable. Do what seems unreasonable or expect what seems impossible. Here's a woman with a seemingly impossible situation. She had a disease that it seemed no one could cure. It could not be cured. She had a problem that it seemed could not be fixed. She was in a predicament that it seemed could not be reconciled. By all accounts, humanly speaking, she was hopeless. And of herself, she was helpless. She did not know where else to turn. And she makes one last-ditch effort to help, to try to get help for her problem. And here the Bible tells us that while there was many there who may have ignored her, thank God there was one that noticed her. While there was a crowd there that no doubt abhorred her and despised her, thank God there was one there that loved her. While there was, listen, a crowd and a bunch of people there who may have cared less about her, I'm glad there was one who was willing to help her, and his name was Jesus. Here in our text, as I begin to read, I begin to ask myself this question. What was different? What was different about this woman than all the others there that day? The Bible says when she touched his garment, Jesus took note and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" I begin to read this and think about what was different about her problem than the other problems. What was different about her predicament than the other predicaments? What was different about her trial? What was different about her tears? What was different about her pain? What was different about her problem than the other problems? What was different about her touch? People were thronging him left and right. What was different about her touch than the other touches? I want you to know, I believe this morning, it's because her touch was a touch of faith. You see, she not only believed that Jesus had the answer, but she believed that Jesus was the answer. I want to preach this morning the help of God for the next few moments on this thought. The answer is Christ. The answer is Christ. You say, preacher, you don't even know what the question is. Doesn't matter. The answer is Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, you don't know this morning what I'm dealing with. It really does not matter because the answer is still Jesus Christ. But preacher, you don't know what battle I'm facing. You don't know what mountain I'm trying to move. You don't know what storm I'm going through. The answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. Does not matter what the question. Somehow, some way this morning, as he's passing by, we need to get his attention. Somehow, some way this morning, we need to make him stop and take note. You see, let me tell you what gets Jesus' attention. It's not when somebody says he can, but it's when somebody believes he can. I heard a story about a young Sunday school class, and they were the teacher went around. She said, "Who believes you ought to give missionaries $1 million?" They all raised their hand. "Who would give, if they had, who would give $1,000 to the missionaries?" Everybody raised their hand. "Who would give?" And she went on down the line. Finally, she said, who believes who would give $1 to the missionaries?" Everybody raised their hand. One little boy, and he starts. She said, "Johnny, what's the problem?" He said, "Well, I have $1. You see, Jesus is not impressed by people who says he can do something, but the ones who believe he can do something. That's what gets his attention. There's people that walked in this building this morning with a seemingly impossible situation. A medical problem, no doubt, that it seems there's no cure for. A heartache that it seems there's no comfort for. A financial situation that it seems that there's no answer for. A loved one that it seems there's no hope for. A family problem that it seems that there's not a fix for. A hurting person and alone that it seems there's no love for. I want you to understand this morning, there is an answer. There is a solution. There is a remedy. And the answer is Jesus Christ. This woman meant to get to Christ. You can be encouraged to know this morning that we serve the same God that this woman with the issue of blood served. Amen. You can be encouraged this morning to know, listen, we serve the same God that healed the sick and raised the dead. We serve the same God that opened the eyes of the blind, opened the ears of the deaf, and opened the mouth of the dumb. We serve the same God that fed the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. We serve the same God that Elijah served. We serve the same God that Daniel served. We serve the same God that David served. And He's able. He's able. I know that He's able. And you know that He's able. Amen. Jesus is the answer. And I'm reminded Sunday after Sunday we'll come in the house of God and fellowship with the people of God and sing praises and hymns to our God, hearing the preached word of God, and all of it happens in the very presence of God. Yet too often times we walk out without ever trying to get the attention of God. What was it that made this woman run up and grab a hold of His garment? Oh, she had a touch of faith. I want you to notice, first of all, I believe it was because she was desperate. She was desperate. There's faith, and then there's desperate faith. Look with me at verse number 25 and 26 in our text. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. This woman had had this issue for 12 years. She was bleeding out. Oh, there's a couple different things it could have been. Nevertheless, she was losing blood and had been having this problem for 12 years. She had tried everything she knew to try. She had done everything she knew to do. She had exhausted everything that she knew to try. She was at her place of desperation. She had tried the medical doctors. She had tried all the medicine. She had tried the procedures. She had tried, the Bible says she even tried throwing money at the situation. She had tried everything she knew to do. And the Bible says she was none better, but rather worse. Isn't it amazing in our world that people are trying everything, but only growing worse? Listen, this morning, I want to say to that one here this morning who's never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've tried all this world has to offer. You've tried the drink of this world. You've tried the drugs of this world. You've tried the debauchery of this world. You've tried the food of this world. You've tried the friendship of this world. You've tried the junk of this world. And you're none better, but only worse. You're nothing better, but only where those drugs have ruined your body. That alcohol has broken your body. That immorality has messed up your home and relationships. And you're nothing better, but rather worse. Why don't you try Jesus this morning? Christ is the answer. It's left you wretched and poor and blind and naked. You're nothing better. But rather, sin always takes you farther than you meant to go, keeps you longer than you meant to stay, costs you more than you ever wanted to pay. Somebody walked in this building this morning in desperation. You can't carry that load of guilt any longer. You can't carry that weight of sin any longer. You can't carry that load of condemnation any longer. And you're at your place of desperation. You have nowhere else to turn. I want you to know this morning, you come to the right place at just the right time. Because about this time on Sunday morning, Jesus passes by. You know what you need to do? Get to Jesus. Get to Jesus. We carry burdens way too long, way too far, way too often. And sometimes God has to bring us to a place of desperation. Sometimes God has to bring us to a place where there's nowhere else to turn except turn to the Lord Jesus. Here, this woman in the lowest point of her life, in her point of desperation, in the midst of her storm, under that load and that burden, we find that she finds the answer. Look with me at verse number 27. Man, I like this. When she heard of Jesus. The Bible says when she had heard of Jesus. Can I tell you something this morning? It's a good day when somebody hears of Jesus. Can I tell you something? It was a great day. Listen, the best day of your life was that, listen, you were under that load of sin, under that load of guilt. You didn't know which way to turn, did not have an answer for your problem. Thank God when there was no rose red enough, and there was no lamb white enough, and there was no man pure enough, there, in the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son made of a woman made under the law to redeem them that was under the law. Listen, when you didn't know which way to turn, and you didn't, aren't you glad that you heard of Jesus? Yeah. The Bible says when she had heard of Jesus. When she had heard of Jesus. It's a great day when somebody hears of Jesus. I don't know what she heard. Maybe she heard that the deaf hear, the dumb can speak, the lame can walk, all those miracles that the Messiah was to perform. I don't know what she heard. Maybe she heard the woman say, come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I don't know what she heard, but she showed up. I don't know what she heard, but she showed up. How many people are sitting in church today because they heard of Jesus from me or from you? How many people are saved today because they've heard of Jesus from me or you? How many people have had their life fixed up and reconciled? How many people's had marriages brought back together? How many people's had their home restored? How many people's had their life restored because they heard of Jesus from me or from you? Listen, we live in a lost and dying world where people are trying everything. Listen, they're desperate. They're desperate to find answers for their problems. They're trying the booze and the drugs and the immorality. And what they find when they get to the end of the bottle is they just need another bottle. When they get to the end of the woman or the man or whoever it is, they find out they just need another man or another woman. But I'm finding there's a crowd out there that realize what they're doing not working, and they're looking for something that's real, and they're looking for something that's powerful, and they're looking for something that'll work. We need to introduce them to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. They don't listen. There's a crowd out there, and they're looking all over the place for answers. And they don't need to hear what Dr. Phil thinks. And they don't need to hear what Dr. Spock thinks. And it really is not important what Oprah thinks. They need to hear about the Lord Jesus. Oh, listen, He calms the storms. He answers prayers. He solves problems. He meets needs. We need to introduce them to Jesus Christ. God, help us to remember. We need to always be introducing people to Jesus. There's a world out there that's lost. There's a world out there that's hungry. There's a world out there that's needy. There's a world out there that's looking for something in their life. Listen, and humanism's not the answer. And socialism's not the answer. And communism's not the answer. But thank God this morning there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all, lose all, lose all their guilty stain. Jesus Christ is the answer. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There is but one mediator, one go-between, one bridge between man and God. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is the answer. That one here that's here with a financial problem. You've tried all the banks and you've tried all the credit cards and you've tried borrowing money and you've tried everything that you know to try. You've tried getting a second job or getting a third job and you've exhausted all means. You're up against the wall. Let me introduce you to somebody that can help. Can I tell you this? He owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. Not only that, but He owns the hills too. His name is Jesus. He is my Father, and my Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the weight of the world in His hands, rubies and diamonds. He's got silver and gold. Oh, thank God, you know what? He's got riches untold, and I'm a child of the King. And if you're saved this morning, you're a child of the King. The answer is Jesus Christ. Listen, He's not struggling. He's not broke. He's not bankrupt. In fact, He's doing pretty well. In fact, He owns the world. He's got the whole world in His hands. Let me introduce you to one who can help. His name's Jesus. If we'll ever reach out to Him, if we'll ever get desperate for Him, if we'll ever learn to depend upon Him, you'll see God do what no one else could do. You'll see God do what nothing else could do. Listen, you'll watch God. If you'll ever come to a place where we're desperate, we'll watch God do what they said could not be done. But only when we get desperate. Because until you get desperate, you're going to keep doing it your way. Until I get desperate, I'm going to keep trying it my way. Until I get desperate, I'm going to keep letting other people get in the way. Oh, she was desperate. I want you to notice, secondly, she was determined. She was determined. Look at verse number 27. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. This crowd there. She came in the press behind and touched His garment. She was determined. Listen, there was a large crowd there. In fact, she was not even supposed to be there. She was considered unclean under Levitical law. She wasn't supposed to touch anybody or be around anybody. Anything she touched was considered unclean. Anybody she touched, they were considered unclean. She was supposed to have her 7 days of purification. On the 8th day, go in the temple and offer a sacrifice. She was not even supposed to be there, but she was determined to get to the Lord Jesus. Listen, I guarantee you that those people there, they were not very happy with her. No doubt people were ridiculing her. No doubt they were looking at her and talking about her. No doubt some in the crowd even knew her and said, "Lady, just go away. You're not even supposed to be here. Nobody can help you. There's no hope for your problem. There's no help for your situation." Can I tell you something? She had all kinds of obstacles in the way. I'm sure people were not very kind to her, but she was not stopped by the obstacles. She was not swayed by the presence of others. She was not sidetracked by the remarks of others. She did not care what anybody thought. Her sights were set on getting to Jesus. And can I tell you something this morning? What we need, no doubt she was anemic. No doubt she was hurting. She was weak. And she had all kinds of obstacles. The crowd was in her way. The people were in her way. The ridicule was in her way. But can I tell you something? She pressed through the crowd. She pushed past the crowd. And somebody this morning needs to press through the crowd. Push past the pride. Get past your own stinking indifference and get to Jesus, because He has the answer. She looked past all the crowd. She looking out there and saw the crowd, but she also saw Jesus. You see, too often times all we see is the crowd. Too often times all we see is the obstacle. Too many times all we see is the people. Somebody needs to see Jesus. She was determined to get to Jesus. There's people in this building this morning with a sin problem. People in this building this morning with a health problem. People, no doubt, in this building with a problem in their home. Somebody's got to bring it to Jesus. Let me tell you what she didn't do. She didn't get to the crowd and stop. This was a religious crowd. If you follow the story on through, you'll find out this was all the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And this was the religious crowd. So many times what we do, we come up to where the crowd's following. Watch this. We come up to where the crowd's following and say, "Well, that's far enough. Well, brother so-and-so at church only goes on Sunday morning, Sunday night. He don't go Wednesday night. Well, sister so-and-so does not sing in the choir." I said, she didn't stop at the crowd. This was a religious crowd. These people were religious, and too often times we, quote, are following Jesus. We only go far as the crowd goes. We say, "Well, that's far enough." Can I say this morning? That don't get Jesus' attention. There was a lot of people thronging Him that day, but can I tell you something? There was only one that got His attention. That don't get, when we just come to the crowd, we're just religious, we just follow with the religious crowd, we just blend in the crowd and just follow afar off and stay afar off. But no, she had a determination about her. She said, "I have a problem and I know the answer and I'm getting to the answer to my problem. His name is Jesus." Where's the one this morning that'll say, "Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow." Can I tell you this? The road that leads you close to Jesus is not crowded. The load, listen, you're going to find out, you start getting close to Jesus, it's a place of solitude. I was talking to Brother Orville, we were out in this meeting we went to, and I said, one of the most loneliest places you'll ever be in your life, where you're chomping, man, you're running, you want to be close to Jesus, and everybody else around you is behind. It's not a crowded place. It's a place of solitude. Standing there at the cross, the Bible said there was one standing there. Only one of his disciples, his name was John. The Bible said all forsook him and fled. Every one of them. Oh, listen, there were the Marys there, but that was it. He stood alone at the feet of Jesus. Oh, it's not a crowded place, friend. You start getting close. It's not crowded. She didn't stop at the crowd. Listen, there was a crowd there that day around Jesus. There was a lot of people there that day watching Jesus. But honey, there was only one who got close enough to grab a hold of his garment. There was only one who decided to go further. Watch this. There was only one who decided to go further than the religious crowd. There was only one who decided to go further than the lukewarm crowd. There was only one, can I say this? There was only one who decided to go a little further than the lazy crowd. Some people don't want to put in what it takes to get to Jesus. I said there was only one who decided to go further and decided to go farther than the lukewarm crowd and the lazy crowd. It was one of those who was part of the desperate crowd. It was one of those who was part of the determined crowd. And she had a determination to get to Jesus. We got to quit getting stopped by the crowd. We got to quit allowing the obstacles to get in our way. Somebody needs to get to Jesus. Not only was she desperate, she was determined. But she was definite. Look at verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, watch what she says, I shall be whole. I shall. She was definite. Not I might, not maybe, not I hope so, not maybe so, but she said, I shall be made whole. She was definite. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. You're not going to see God do very much in your life without having faith. You're not going to see God do very much, show up in your problem without having faith, because faith is the key that unlocks the door. Faith is the key to our salvation. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch's out there reading the Bible, and he does not know what he's reading. And the Bible says that Jesus sent Philip out from a red hot revival there to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he comes up and he says, understandest what thou readest? How can I except some man should guide me? And the Bible says, Philip opened the scripture and expounded those things concerning Christ there and told him the way of salvation. And then he asked the question, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Philip said this in 8:37. If you got a King James Bible, if you don't, it's probably not in there. 8:37 says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Faith, listen, faith is the key to salvation. John 3:36, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Faith is the key to salvation. Faith is the antidote for our fear. I want you to move to verse number 36. He's already healed this woman, and now Jairus comes back to him about his daughter, or people come back to Jesus about the daughter of Jairus. In verse number 36, it says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, watch this, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. You see, the opposite of fear is faith, and the opposite of faith is fear. This man thought his daughter was dead. And can you imagine the fear that gripped his heart? Yet when he put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, all fear was gone. You see, fear is the opposite of faith. And faith is the opposite of fear. And faith is the antidote for our fear. Just believing. Not only that, but faith makes all things possible. Hold your place here. Turn a few pages ahead in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Look at verse number 23 with me. Here's a man with an evil spirit. They bring this man's son to Jesus who has an evil spirit. Disciples couldn't do anything. Watch what he says. The disciples couldn't cast it out. The man couldn't do anything to get it out. No one, it seemed it was impossible, there was no answer. But Jesus said in verse 23, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Faith makes the impossible possible. This man brings his son, who's got an evil spirit, to Jesus. The disciples could do nothing with him. The man could do nothing with him. But Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Faith can move mountains. Move forward to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse number 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, watch this, and thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt it in his heart, here's the key, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He said, but shall believe. You've got a mountain you need moved this morning. You've got something you need to move this morning. Listen, you've got a storm that needs settled. You got a problem that needs solved. Do you have a mountain that needs moved? Because the key to mountain moving is faith. It's faith. Notice the very next verse, verse number 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, watch this, believe. Faith is the key to answered prayers. You're not going to go very far with the Lord Jesus without faith. He that cometh to God, the Bible says in Hebrews, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is what? That he is God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. After all that she had tried had failed, she was still willing to place her faith and her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible says when she heard of Jesus. When you heard it, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, it's God who gives us the faith in our time of need. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us our faith in the time of need. The Bible says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author, that's the beginning, and the finisher, that's the end of our faith. Jesus is the one who gives us the answer to our faith. Our hope, our help, our happiness comes from the Lord Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And I want to tell you this morning, when you come to the place where you have nowhere else to turn, you don't know what else to do, you've exhausted everything you know to do, when you come to the place, listen, where it seems that this has failed and that's failed and you tried it all and there's nothing better and you're nothing better but rather worse, when you come to the place that you don't know where else to turn, when you come to the place where the Lord's all you have, I want to tell you something this morning, you're going to find out He's all you need. Oh, listen. His provisions are always there. His peace is still being extended. His promises are real. Our problems are still being solved. His patience is still being shown. His providence is still reigning. His compassions are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And this morning somebody needs to place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because this morning the answer to your situation, the answer to your sorrow, the answer to your problem is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. She said, if I can touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. She was definite. She had faith. She wasn't worried. She wasn't wondering. She knew, I shall be whole. I want you to notice lastly, she was different. Oh, listen. When Jesus Christ touched her body, and when she touched the Lord Jesus, she was different. Look at verse 29. Back in our text, Mark 5. The Bible says, and straightway, that means immediately. Immediately, straightway. She didn't have to wait. Listen, she didn't have to have four levels of catechism. She didn't have to be baptized, capsized, or simonized. Praise God. The Bible says straightway. Immediately. The fountain of her blood was dried up. Watch this. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Man, I feel like preaching her. So look at verse number 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing, watch this, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. Knowing what, can I tell you something this morning? Listen, the day I got saved, glory, hallelujah, the day I got saved, no, listen, nobody had to tell me the day Jesus Christ saved my soul, the day he cleansed my sin, the day he washed me whiter than snow. Nobody had to tell me something was different. Nobody had to tell me there was a change. Nobody had to tell me, listen, that I had been transformed. The day that Jesus Christ saved my soul, praise God, the Bible says, knowing what was done in her, nobody had to tell me the day, listen, when he saved my soul, I felt clean. When he saved my soul, I felt pure. When he saved my soul, my step was a little bit lighter. The day was a little bit brighter, and the birds sung better, and listen, the wind felt better, praise God, and the day looked better, and my future looked awful bright. Nobody had to tell me that there had been a change, knowing what was done in her. Glory. But can I tell you something? That's not the only time that I knew Jesus had done something in me. Oh, there's been a many a times I've slid up to his table. There's been a many a times I grabbed a hold of his garment. There's been a many a times I've entered his throne room and drew up near to his presence. And can I tell you this? There's been many times I've walked into the house of God. And can I say this? I've never left the same. So like somebody said, if you ever have an encounter with the God of the King James Bible, he'll knock the devil out of you. Amen? Hey, listen, she was different. She felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And knowing what was done in her. There have been many times the Lord's passed by my way. I'm not talking about salvation. That's only once. I'm talking about sanctification. I'm talking about those times God gets a hold of your heart to draw you closer to him. I'm talking about the times of surrender. I'll never forget God getting me in the corner. He's done it more than once, surrendering different things in my life and different times, because the fact is we're hard-hearted. The fact is we're hard-headed. And I'll never forget God getting me in a corner there at that youth conference 2007. And listen, he would not let me out. And I was like Jacob wrestling with God. And God said, look, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. I said, but God, what about this? This is what I want you to do. But God, what about this? And can I tell you something? I left different. Jacob wrestled with God there at Bethel. But can I tell you something? God changed his name. But he didn't only change his name, he changed Jacob. Jacob walked with a limp. And if you ever, listen, if you ever have an encounter with Jesus Christ, you're going to leave different, knowing what was done in her. The prayer that saves a man changes a man. There's a difference. Bible says, you see, not only was she different, not only did she notice a difference, but watch this. Jesus felt a difference. Look at verse number 30. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself, watch this, that virtue, strength, power, look, had gone out of him, turned him the press behind, said, who touched my clothes? Something was different about Jesus. Something changed in Jesus. This woman who was defiled, the day, listen, he comes, this woman, she's been defiled. He comes to this woman, listen, and she was healed by his touch. This woman, she's a picture of a sinner. She's a picture of someone who's depraved. She's a picture of someone who's filthy and wretched and blind. She's diseased. She has a problem. But can I tell you something? When Jesus healed her, he didn't heal her and stay the same. But listen, it made a difference in the Lord Jesus as well. And I think about the day Jesus Christ bought my healing and the day Jesus Christ bought your healing. Though we were defiled, though we were diseased, listen, though we were wretched, poor, and blind, he felt it. Listen, he knew something was taken from him. He knew that there was something that was different. He knew something had been changed in him. What was it? The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can I tell you something? In order for you to be healed, in order for me to be healed, Jesus had to be changed. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Why? That ye through his poverty might be made rich. Listen, He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He hung there on the cross as the sinless Son of God. The sin of the world was placed upon him. Something was taken from him. You want to know what it was? It was fellowship with the Father. You want to know what it was? It was fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Something had been taken from him. He hung there on a cross and he had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was separated from the Father. He was separated from the Son. Oh, something had went out of him. Something was different in him. Listen, he was changed. He was changed, and there was something different. Not only that, listen, something had gone out of him. His purity, he was different in order to heal you and I. In order to heal you and I. Knowing that virtue had gone out of him. What an amazing thing it is to look here at this crowd of people and think about the fact, no doubt in this crowd there was all kinds of problems present. There were all kinds of needs that needed to be met. There were all kinds of sicknesses, and there were hurting hearts, and there were physical needs, there were financial problems, there were family problems, and the answer to all their problems was right there in front of them. But only one felt enough desperation to grab a hold of his garment. Only one had enough determination to get to him, and when she did, she left different. She left different. This 12-year-old problem had been solved. How about you? How long are you going to carry that burden? How long are you going to carry that pain and that bitterness? How long are you going to carry that unforgiveness this morning? How long are you going to carry that loneliness? Can't help but think, a crowd even this size here today, that people are struggling with many different things. Oh, there are broken hearts. There are broken homes. Somebody's walked out. There are those that are in a battle with their health. There are those that are struggling from a lack of wealth. I want to give you the best advice anybody's ever given you. Run to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Get to Jesus. The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer, you've allowed obstacles to stop you for way too long. You've allowed people to sway you for way too long. Don't carry that burden another step. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. You see, we take them to the Lord many times, but we don't leave them there. Jesus Christ this morning, listen, it doesn't matter what the problem is. He is our all in all. We are sufficient in Christ. Let's all stand for prayer. While we stand, listen, there's somebody here, and you know in your heart, listen, you've ran from it, you've been guilty for too long, you've been under condemnation for too long, and you know in your heart and your life, if you died today, you would split hell wide open for eternity.